GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the
ABC
Civic
News,
Media app.
I'm Jacqueline Lee. All 19 defendants have surrendered in Georgia and charged in the racketeering and conspiracy case to overturn the state's 2020 election. Last night, former President Trump was booked at Fulton County Jail, his mugshot also taken. ABC's Rachel Scott is in Iowa.
Donald Trump was fundraising off of that mugshot before his plane even touched down back in Bedminster. And then he made that sudden and surprise turn back to the platform formerly known as Twitter. This was his biggest megaphone for years. He was banned after January 6th. Then he posted that mugshot with the words "never surrender," clearly still very defiant.
Two U.S. officials say a bomb likely caused the plane crash that killed Wagner Group leader Evgeny Prigozhin and nine others. The Kremlin denies responsibility. In California, crews are investigating the crash of a military fighter jet near Miramar. Defense officials say it happened during a training flight. At an economic conference in Wyoming, Fed Chair Jerome Powell warned inflation is still too high and more interest rate hikes are likely. This is ABC News. Refusing to resign over a controversial World Cup kiss.
As Spain's players accepted their winners' medals after Sunday's triumph over England, the president of the country's National Soccer Federation, Luis Rubiales, was seen kissing midfielder Jenny Hermoso on the lips. Hermoso said she didn't like it in a social media video after the game, but Friday, Rubiales, defiant, said he's not going anywhere.
No voy a dimitir. No voy a dimitir.
He told the National Federation the kiss was consensual. He said he's the victim of a witch hunt by false feminists. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Walmart is teaming up with drone company Wing to provide drone deliveries in the Dallas area. The companies say two stores will cover deliveries for 60,000 homes in a six-mile radius, and customers will get their groceries in 30 minutes or less. Operators will keep an eye on the highly automated drones. Jacqueline Lee, ABC News.
Welcome to one of the premier jazz festivals around. We are in Oshkosh.
Get to see Oshkosh, you know, my hometown, embracing and enjoying and celebrating this festival. I mean, I really do mean that.
Erin Bame is the main organizer of the Oshkosh Jazz Fest. She says it's fairly new, but starting to make a name for itself and this Wisconsin city. So what is Oshkosh best known for, at least right now? Is it UW Oshkosh, EAA Air Venture, or Oshkosh Bagosh? The answer coming up.
Our festival is completely free and family friendly.
Two reasons the festival's grown from hundreds to thousands. And the entertainers are huge too. Names like Torme and Take Six, the most awarded a cappella group in history. So did you guess what made Oshkosh famous? Is Oshkosh Bagosh. But don't forget the Oshkosh Jazz Festival for future fame. The fest is Saturday afternoon, August 26th, and is a new slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The air quality in Wisconsin is bad this year, the worst in more than a decade. Luke Mathers has more.
So far, the state has issued 15 air quality advisories this year as of August 18th. That is more than any other year since 2010. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The poor air quality is in part from wildfire smoke traveling down from Canada. Also this year, the state is experiencing the third most ozone alerts in the past 16 years. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
Electric vehicles could be one solution to air pollution over the long haul, but lower prices are a sign that demand is low. But analysts say electric vehicle sales numbers are actually encouraging. Here's Mike Moan.
Wisconsin has lagged behind other states in electric vehicle registrations, but the Wisconsin Policy Forum notes that registrations have increased on average by nearly 52% each year over the past decade. Chris Hardo of Consumer Reports says overall, EV sales are up 50% this year over last.
So we're really just not seeing this slowdown that everybody is talking about when you actually look at vehicle purchase data.
As for reports of high inventories, Hardo notes the estimates exclude EV-only dealers and that their inventories are well below the industry average. I'm Mike Moan.
Republicans are looking ahead to the rest of the presidential campaign after Wednesday night's debate in Milwaukee. Strategist Scott Jensen says he's worried if Donald Trump is the nominee.
I'm not sure getting arrested for the fourth time is a good look, but apparently he's comfortable with that. I'm not. I think that's a problem for us in the long run.
Megan Novak is with Americans for Prosperity. She says Republicans can win if they talk about bread and butter issues like the cost of living.
I talked to a mom of four teenage boys last night, and she said her grocery bill is $200 more every week because of Bidenomics right now. Like, that's unaffordable for her and for people like her.
Jensen and Novak spoke at a WISP politics panel in Milwaukee yesterday. One of the Democrats running for Congress in western Wisconsin doesn't live in the district. Aaron Knights grew up in Milwaukee and is going to Harvard Law School. He says he plans to move to the La Crosse area after he graduates in the spring. Knights is challenging Rebecca Cook of Eau Claire in the 3rd District primary. The winner will presumably take on Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden, but he has not officially announced a re-election bid. An embattled news website is accessible again at the Wisconsin State Capitol. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The Wausau Pilot and Review was blocked on legislative office computers for a time yesterday. The Legislative Technology Services Bureau says the website was mistakenly flagged as a cybersecurity threat. The Tech Bureau says the mistake was caught and the firewall was put down. Pilot and Review editor Shireen Sewer tells Civic Media News she hopes it's not a deliberate attack on the press. The Pilot and Review and State Senator Corey Tomczak have been embroiled in a long-time legal battle. The Republican lawmaker is suing the website for defamation. The website has racked up six figures in legal bills defending itself. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Two state task forces will study the impact of artificial intelligence on Wisconsin's workforce. Governor Evers issued an executive order to the Department of Workforce Development Wednesday. It'll include members of his cabinet, college-level educators, and business leaders. Then yesterday, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced a bipartisan task force of state lawmakers. The head of the legislative task force is State Representative Nate Gustafson of Fox Crossing. He says the best outcome would be good guardrails that don't stifle innovation. Well, temperatures are moderating in Wisconsin after the heat wave, but there's a good chance of severe weather tomorrow. Brittany Merlot has more coming up. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. A Green Bay woman has been sentenced for selling fentanyl disguised as Percocet. 20-year-old Mariana K.J. Zimmer received 8 years in prison with 8 years of supervision to follow. In addition to drug charges, Zimmer also pled guilty to gun charges. The Brown County Task Force caught Zimmer instructing a friend to destroy evidence of her crimes in 2022 from jail. The attorney for Making of a Murderer subject Stephen Avery will appeal the court's decision to deny him a new trial. Avery's attorney Kathleen Zellner says she will take the decision to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals. Earlier this year, Zellner indicated she had evidence to support a claim there was a new suspect in the 2005 murder of Teresa Hallbeck. Avery claims he was framed for the killing by one of the state's key witnesses. Stephen Avery is serving a life sentence for the crime. The Wisconsin Realtors Association report for July 2023 has interesting things to say about Northeast Wisconsin. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The average price for a new home in the area is $275,000 compared to $239,000 last year at this time. That's a 14.5% jump and the biggest in the state. Sales in the area and statewide, however, are down. Here in Northeast Wisconsin, sales are down over 25%. That's the biggest drop in the state. Home sales overall in the state are down 20%. The average home price in Wisconsin is $300,000 compared to $279,000 a year ago. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Are your hunting skills up to speed? If not, don't panic, folks. The Wisconsin DNR will host Learn to Hunt workshops all over the state this fall to help hunters develop better safety practices, be more independent, and ethical. The courses are highly recommended for those just learning to hunt. All Learn to Hunt workshops are open to the public and tailored for different levels of experience and skills. For more information, please visit the Wisconsin DNR website. Happy hunting. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Finally, it's Friday, and the fresher, cooler air is funneling in soon. With the heat trapped in Iowa and Illinois, Wisconsin has a crisper and chillier weekend ahead. As a low pressure drops south, it dragged a cold front along with it. Winds are switching to out of the north and will keep highs hitting the upper 70s to low 80s today. A few showers and storms are rolling across the state, but will wind down by early this evening. And none are expected to be severe. But guess what? Temperatures will only hit the upper 60s to low 70s for the rest of this weekend under mostly sunny skies. Enjoy it. Have a fantastic Friday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Josh Hader's back in Milwaukee. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former Brewers closer Josh Hader is back at American Family Field as the crew hosts the Padres. Hader with a 97-mile-an-hour sinker to earn a save over the Marlins on Wednesday. The Brewers now with a 5-game winning streak thanks to some clutch hits by their youngest players, Craig Counsell.
Well, I think, you know, it just highlights it. And I think when, you know, it puts you in battle mode and you get rewarded for it. It's, you need the positive feedback from the reward, and a bunch of guys are getting it.
What is it right now with this team getting clutch hits with two strikes?
Yeah, it's like anything. You just got to stay in the fight, and we've been rewarded for staying in the fight. It hasn't always been super hard contact, but staying in the fight and got you some positive results.
Brandon Woodruff against Yu Darvish for San Diego. First pitch tonight is at 7:10. NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo says he wants some reassurance the Bucks don't plan a rebuild in the near future before he signs a contract extension with the team next month. In a lengthy interview in this morning's New York Times, Giannis says he still loves Milwaukee but doesn't want to spend 20 years with a team that never wins another championship. NFL, the Seattle Seahawks arriving in Green Bay today to face the Packers tomorrow at noon at Lambeau Field. Seattle head coach Pete Carroll on what the team has been like a year after trading quarterback Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos.
Attitude has been really on it. I mean, I've said to you guys 100 times now about this group, their mentality, their approach to the game, how they're looking at it, what they bring every day. The attitude and the mentality is so powerful because right now, you know, attitude's everything.
Matt LaFleur says after losing most of the fourth quarter last week against the Patriots when the game was suspended, he'll have to be extra careful to ensure third-string players see some action in tomorrow's final preseason game.
You know, we go into it every game with an idea of what we are trying to see, and I think that's why it's so important that in terms of the communication with myself and Goody, making sure everybody's on the same page, making sure that we get the proper evaluation and put guys in a position where we get questions answered, quite frankly.
Sean Clifford, on being named the Packers' backup quarterback, gave credit to his years at Penn State for earning a roster spot in the NFL.
I see so many reps and so many looks here that you kind of revert back to how you were trained and you just make plays. And I think that Penn State trained me that way and it's been paying off.
Clifford was coached at Penn State by Ken Whisenhunt, who also helped lead Kurt Warner and the Cardinals to a Super Bowl. Jordan Love will start and talked about thanking the fans in the stands at the final training camp practice.
No, it was all good stuff. Just running through the fans, telling them thank you for coming out and supporting us in practice.
Love says he enjoys the team tradition, riding kids' bikes to practice.
Always a good time going out there. You know, the kids are excited to see us, have us ride their bikes, and it's a special tradition. It's always fun just being out there, being able to talk to the kids, and then obviously the fans being out there on the side just cheering us on.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
My name is Leah, and I'm a single mom living in Milton, Wisconsin. I have two kids with severe peanut allergies and asthma. Before Badger Care, I struggled with affording the copays for their life-saving medications. Even with the best insurance available through my full-time job, the EpiPens had a $100 copay, and we needed them for school and home for each of my kids. There was even a point when my daughter had a severe allergic reaction, and I strongly considered not calling 911 due to the cost of the ambulance. I'm grateful that the administrations of President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers are working together to give us the tools to improve our health care. Now I no longer have to choose between putting food on the table and providing affordable, life-saving health care for my children. To learn more about how the Inflation Reduction Act and other investments are helping rural communities and families like mine, visit www.abetterwisconsininstitute.org/rural.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 78. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies. Tonight, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 61. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. A mix of clouds and sun. Mainly sunny Sunday with daytime highs approaching 73. 76. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by the squad today, Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zommers. Gentlemen, it's Friday. How are we doing today?
It is Friday. Doing well, Will. Glad to be with you on the air.
I'm also doing pretty well. I will be going to a little local music festival this weekend. Going to Lettuce Fest at Wonka's Farm. I don't remember the exact name of the place.
Lettuce Fest? What does that all entail?
It's a no-till farm, and this is their first time hosting a music festival there. The first annual, hopefully, Lettuce Fest, at least if I'm remembering correctly. If this is wrong, sorry. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Nice. Shout out to Lettuce Fest on a Friday on Town Call, Aaron. Nice catch. So, of course, Friday's the absolute best Wednesday of the week. We're talking Wisconsin headlines. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. But, Luke, before we jump into the headlines, we got to talk about the national story of the day yesterday, the most viral mugshot of all time, potentially. Donald Trump arranged in Fulton County, Georgia. And the mugshot was released. I didn't want to be the one to say it, but low-key, it kind of goes hard. But this was the first time he's had his mugshot taken of his four arrests. You noted before the show that he was listed at 6'3", 215 pounds. I have heard that it's self-reported. They didn't actually weigh and measure him because there is no chance that that dude is 6'3", or that he's only 215 pounds. Absolutely ridiculous, but that's hilarious, Luke. I think we both agreed that that's quite funny before the show, no?
I think that it is interesting, that's for sure, the fact that that could be self-reported. I don't know how accurate those are, but I have not met the former president in person, so not familiar with the exact stature, but I'm skeptical at best of some of those numbers.
Well, to give you some context, Luke, Russell Westbrook is also listed at 6'3", 215. So, looking at body shapes here, either somebody is fudging the numbers a little bit, or maybe the former president has the bone density of a bird or something. I'm not entirely sure. Also, remember pictures with him standing next to Obama, who's listed at 6'1". Obama does appear to be a little bit taller than him. Perhaps he was 6'3" back in the day, but the 215 is quite humorous. That's I believe Muhammad Ali was also listed at like 6'3", 220-ish. So you're talking some of the most physically fit human beings on the planet, and then the former president just throwing his numbers out to match that. I can't help but chuckle a little bit. Perhaps that just shows, we joke about it all the time, but the inability to tell the truth, habitually lying in any way, shape, or form, even with easily verifiable information. I don't know.
What is the truth, Will? I mean, it's like when there's a schedule absence and somebody tries to take a victory when there's just not even a competition. Let's say last week, Friday, for most Wisconsin headlines of the week. You find yourself dabbling in the truthiness area yourself.
Well, you know, scheduled absences doesn't necessarily change the calendar, Luke.
If I'm
a quarterback for the NFL football
team, you had a bye
team,
week last week,
and I have a scheduled absence
because you had a bye week last week. I'm getting married or something.
Bye weeks
don't go against the Packers in the schedule. When they take their bye week, Will, it doesn't show up as a loss. It is a bye week.
A bye week, though, is also not the opponent's not showing up either because the opponent has a bye week. So I'd say this is more like, you know.
Again, see, you find yourself dabbling in the truthiness. There was no competition last week, but you tried to rack up a W.
I was here. That's all I got to say. I was here. And I firmly believe that I am undefeated. Now, the data says otherwise. The numbers and the record and the results tell a very different story.
Aaron, what does the official scoreboard show for last week then?
As of last week, the official scoreboard says 6-5 with Luke in the lead. That is counting last week as a win.
You're counting last week as a win.
Well,
on the official scoreboard.
Luke's getting mighty angry about
this.
I'm asking.
I think
he's just asking questions.
It's comical. It's comical to me that Will's throwing out I showed up. But, you know, then the next time I'll just have to, when I'm going to be absent, we'll just do a replay.
your words, not mine, Luke.
That's fine. I showed up.
Do you want to lead then this week since let's give
you every advantage you could possibly have, Will, because you got to stack the deck to yourself. Go ahead. After you, sir.
As long as we're making NFL comparisons, then. So I won the coin toss, it sounds like you're saying, and I will choose to defer to you, Mr. Mathers. So please, the floor is yours.
Fine, low-hanging fruit. Most Wisconsin headline of the week. This one over WISN.com, Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Headline, Milwaukee hosts first 2024 Republican presidential debate, what to know. And so, yes, Wisconsin was the center of the political universe this week with the RNC kicking off the 2024 cycle here in Wisconsin, bringing the debate to Milwaukee at the Pfizer Forum. And that, my friends, is the most Wisconsin headline because we are the center of the political universe. And it's going to shift a little bit now with what's going down in Fulton County for a moment, but the RNC's national convention will be here next summer, less than a year away, where they will be holding the actual convention in Wisconsin. But we, the center of the political universe, that is my starting off most Wisconsin headline of the week.
It's an excellent headline, Luke. I got to give a shout out real quick. If you didn't catch As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen today, we had a very similar conversation. Wes from Middleton was throwing some strays at me, giving Luke some credit, but I'm seeing the text from Wes right now. Will can still win if Mike Pence has the courage. Oh, so accurate, Wes. Oh, so accurate. If Mike stands up and does what needs to be done, maybe the record will truly show the winner in this situation, which is, of course, myself. It's interesting, Luke, that you went with that as the low-hanging fruit, because I thought this story was the low-hanging fruit of the week.
Your story is a Milwaukee headline, not a Wisconsin headline, but fire away, because I did my research like Bill Belichick, and I figured out what you were going with first.
Well, I did. I did also announce it on a public radio show, so
yeah, it's fine.
It wasn't like I was trying to hide it or anything.
Yeah. But and in a competition of the most Milwaukee headlines of the week, maybe you might win with it. But go ahead, Will. Tell the people what your most Wisconsin headline is of the week.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel piece from earlier in the week: the Milverine himself throwing out the first pitch at Tuesday night's Brewers game. Milwaukee's own Avenger will be throwing out the first pitch on Marvel Superhero Night at American Family Field on Tuesday. The Milverine, of course, is a staple of Milwaukee people-watching culture, and he made it out there to throw out the ceremonial first pitch before the Brewers-Twins game on Tuesday. He has developed a following as a shirtless dog walker who resembles the Marvel character Wolverine, and he will participate in the team's Superhero Night, officially branded as Marvel Superhero Night, Avengers 60th Anniversary. Good work, Milverine. Good job. I love the Twitter polls that come up every now and then, like, who is the greatest Milwaukee character in existence? And it's always, you know, the Milverine, Bobby Portis, David Gruber, just staples of Milwaukee culture. And I can't lie, I live for that kind of stuff because it's absolutely hilarious.
There you go.
Not to contribute to the hostile atmosphere that we're experiencing here, but I have no idea who the hell Milverine is. I've never heard of this before as somebody who does not live in Milwaukee.
There you go. Well, Will doesn't live in Milwaukee either. Will lives in Germantown, so.
I do live in Germantown. I have not been shy to hide that either. I just love getting down to the city whenever I have the opportunity. We had a lot of fun down there on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he is a very, very staple to the Milwaukee people watching culture, as the JS Online article notes, Aaron. And
also,
hopefully
Aaron,
one
I'm
time
chronically
we'll be able-
online. Remember that I'm chronically online. That's true. I feel like average people.
Have you seen the Milverine? Have you seen the
Milverine
in person before,
kind of
Will?
No, I've never seen.
Oh,
it in
so
person.
You're definitely not from Milwaukee, then. I've seen
it's
Milverine
just
on several
online.
Different times. Yeah, no, I've, I mean,
you?
I'm from Milwaukee. Are you kidding me? Have I seen the Milverine? Yeah.
I don't know. Milwaukee's a big place. That's a fair question
big
to
city.
Ask.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if you can. Consider yourself
sporting
Milwaukee
events or just like casually
just
walking down the street,
walking around downtown, walking his dog, very huh, very casual. Like it's a staple of around the Milwaukee area. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I've seen the Milverine. Really cool that he got to throw out the first pitch on Marvel Superhero Night. My next most Wisconsin headline of the week. Got one over here in my neck of the woods from the Camp Times headline vote. Madison Old Fashioned Week returns August 18th to the 25th. Very few ceremonial weeks can be more Wisconsin than an entire week dedicated to old fashions. And that is exactly what's going on with the Cap Times here in Madison this week. Old Fashioned Week for 2023 taking place ends today. So if you haven't had a chance yet to try one of the, I believe, 18 different old participating old fashions around the Madison area. You can vote on your favorites and do so over at the Cap Times. But hard to beat a more Wisconsin celebratory week than Old Fashioned Week. And I had quite a few last weekend when I was celebrating the nuptials. So it's definitely something you should, if you haven't already had a chance yet, get out to one of the excellent Madison establishments and have an old fashioned and vote for your favorite between now and the end of the day today.
I was debating, Luke, whether I wanted to drop this one again, but as long as we're on the discussion of old fashions and alcohol, it is very Wisconsin, so I have to mention it. A piece over from the Wisconsin State Journal: open drinking on ATVs would be banned in Wisconsin under bipartisan bill. Open containers of alcohol on all-terrain vehicles would be banned on highways, trails, and any other ATV passage open to the public under a bipartisan bill that came before the Senate committee, on Tuesday. The bill, SB 262, comes as advocates and some Wisconsin lawmakers seek to confront the high levels of drinking and alcohol-related crashes in Wisconsin. Currently, as the law is written, all-terrain and utility vehicle drivers are prohibited from driving if they have a BAC of 0.08 or greater. But unlike in cars, open drinking is not explicitly prohibited on or in ATVs and UTVs. We talk about the culture a lot, Luke. We talk about how dangerous it can be if not participated in responsibly. This, to me, was stunning that this was not already the law, but you look at 2022 alone, there were 129 ATV crashes resulting in 13 deaths and 124 injuries. So this is a problem.
Not to assume that all of those crashes, were those alcohol-involved crashes, or those just crashes in total on those?
Crashes in general,
okay.
According to
so
the
let's,
Wisconsin
let's
Department
not chalk them all
resources.
Up to, for that reason. But yeah, that is a eyebrow-raising.
Alcohol was involved in 5 of the 8 UTV crash deaths, though. Okay. That is stated.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, definitely. That's a loophole. Yeah, you probably shouldn't be getting behind one of those vehicles with an open container. Just save it for when you're resting in place, you know, laying back in a chair, cracking open an old-fashioned or a beer, whatever it is, responsibly. All right, Town Call is going to continue the most Wisconsin headlines of the week. If you've got one you want to share with us, 844-967-2789. If you want to share your thoughts on Will trying to steal a win, we'll hear those too here on Town Call. We'll be right back.
Never surrender, Luke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jacqueline Lee. All 19 defendants have surrendered in Georgia and charged in the racketeering and conspiracy case to overturn the state's 2020 election. Last night, former President Trump was booked at Fulton County Jail, his mugshot also taken. ABC's Rachel Scott is in Iowa.
Donald Trump was fundraising off of that mugshot before his plane even touched down back in Bedminster. And then he made that sudden and surprise turn back to the platform formerly known as Twitter. This was his biggest megaphone for years. He was banned after January 6th. Then he posted that mugshot with the words "Never Surrender," clearly still very defiant.
Two U.S. officials say a bomb likely caused the plane crash that killed Wagner Group leader Evgeny Prigozhin and nine others. In California, crews are investigating the crash of a military fighter jet near Miramar. At an economic conference in Wyoming, Fed Chair Jerome Powell warned inflation is still too high and more interest rate hikes are likely. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. A judge has tripled the bond for a former campground owner who skipped a court date. Ann Retzloff was arrested on a warrant Wednesday in O'Connell County and moved to the Shawano County Jail. She faces multiple criminal charges stemming from a 2021 traffic stop which led to a miles-long chase with authorities. Retzloff was the owner of Annie's Campground in Shawano, which was sold last year to help pay a bank loan.
A Green Bay woman has been sentenced for selling fentanyl disguised as Percocet. 20-year-old Mariana K.J. Zimmer received 8 years in prison with 8 years of supervision to follow. In addition to drug charges, Zimmer also pled guilty to gun charges. The Brown County Task Force caught Zimmer instructing a friend to destroy evidence of her crimes in 2022 from jail.
Looking for cheap gas, Green Bay? Who isn't? The Costco in Bellevue has $3.39 a gallon, as does the Mobile on Algoma Road. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, the south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here, and Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with host Chris Elfheim and Emily Sefos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Friday, and that means it's Best Wisconsin Headlines of the Week. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text. Mr. Mathers, I believe it is your turn
for
your
next Wisconsin headline. Now I think you're pulling language from our friend Kristen Bry over on As Goes Wisconsin. This is the most Wisconsin headline of the week segment, Will. Not the best. She does best, worst, and weirdest.
Sorry, I got the segment in my mind still. My apologies.
I don't know what you're doing, man. Come on. My next most Wisconsin headline, this one's kind of a little bit of a double one because it evokes a previous headline done by our friends over at Up North News. WI.com. Up North News had the headline this week: "We found Wisconsin's best fish fry. Our readers said, hold my tartar sauce." So the excellent individuals over at Up North News, WI.com, written up by Christina Laurie, said in the piece, "Earlier this year, we headed to Green Bay to try the fish fry many called the best in the state. But since we published that review, the emails have kept coming in from readers who were concerned we were missing out on other hidden gems." And so they had to share some other recommendations because Wisconsinites around the state started sending in submissions to Up North News saying, no, 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 this is the best fish fry in Wisconsin. And this is just an extremely, it's a nice way. It's a Midwest nice way saying, I think you might be wrong. You got to go check out this place. And so several other recommendations in the piece over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. You can go check it out there. But that is just an extremely Wisconsin headline. Hold my tartar sauce.
Yeah, that's an oh-so Wisconsin headline. That was a 75-yard touchdown. That one hits me right in the gut. All right, well, we're playing with house money now at this point because that one might have ended it. Mathers just dropped himself from the top rope.
Center of the political universe, old-fashioned week, and fish fries. Good luck trying to...
No, the fish fry one was the hammer.
Dig your way out of this hole this week, Will.
Well, I guess I just got to throw it to the wind at this point.
Silence. You were stunned. You were just like, oh, no, what is happening?
No, the fish fry one was excellent. The fish fry one was excellent. That's a good find. I am going to go over to Madison365.com. Unfortunately, this is one I'm not excited to talk about, but it's related to some of the conversations we've been having the past couple weeks, particularly around schools in Wisconsin and the state of education. Investigation finds Wausau teacher engaged in racist, homophobic discrimination and school district failed in response. An external investigation found that a Wausau East High School band teacher did in fact engage in racist and homophobic discrimination and that the school district officials didn't do enough in response to a family's complaints, according to an attorney representing the family of a student. This is it's a topic that we've found ourselves covering quite a bit over the past few months, Luke, particularly in regards to school boards and how a lot of, let's say, extremist candidates have really been pushing themselves to the forefront. Education is the foundation of a successful society, particularly public education. We have to protect and defend our incredible public schools, and it's really sad to see and hear stories of this nature coming out of Wisconsin's public education system, but they continue to be appearing. And then you combine that with the fact that at the collegiate level, the Wisconsin legislature has cut the budget by $32 million in an effort to, of course, cut out the DEI programs that stories like this show are clearly, clearly still necessary.
Yeah, it is an important story to be keeping an eye on it up there in Wausau for what's going on surrounding this investigation. And the focus on education, like, that is where we've seen a lot of the culture wars get shifted to in recent months and years. Like, this is a battleground where I don't think these discussions and in some point these points of conflict we're going to see go away anytime soon. And so this to come out that the school board and the school district failed this student, I think it's important to own up to that responsibility. Mm-hmm. We do have a text in, well, more of a chat in from one of our members here in regards to my most recent Wisconsin headline. We got our friend Casper on the engineering team saying the fish fries are overrated and it bugs him that none of the fish is locally sourced. But he's all about the good old fashioned. What is going? Fish fries overrated? I think Casper may be a Minnesotan though, down at heart. So overrated fish fries.
I can understand where he's coming from if you include the second sentence as part of it. That, like, yeah, it should be locally sourced fish. That would be a lot cooler. Where possible, it should be locally sourced fish.
Yeah,
and I've been to a few that do that around the Manitowoc area, and I like those a lot more.
Yeah,
I'm a little torn here because, like, I don't want to comment on something that's going to make Luke's headline look worse. I need all the points I can get if I want any attempt to come back here. But I'm not going to be someone who states publicly in any way, shape, or form that fish fries are overrated, because
good fish
fry
is a good fish fry. I think it can contribute to a better fish fry if it's locally sourced. But I to come out and say that they're overrated, that is just blasphemy.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how blasphemy. That one plays out.
But, all right, so that is yours, Wausau headline. I'm going to go to a Wausau headline as well, this one over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Democrats propose anti-SLAPP legislation as Republican senators' lawsuit against the Wausau publication continues. This one did take an interesting turn over the last day or so as well, with the Wausau pilot and review being blocked on computers in the Oof. Wisconsin state capitol.
Dang
and
it.
So
Luke, that was my next one.
Hey, you brought us to Wausau, so I just picked up where you left off. Shocking. It was a momentary blip, according to officials with the legislative body in charge of the cybersecurity at the Wisconsin capitol. They didn't mean to, but it seems like there may have been some retaliation over the reporting surrounding this lawsuit that is one lawmaker is claiming defamatory. And so, interesting update there. The anti-SLAPP legislation would prevent lawsuits like that for small media outlets that are just trying to report on what's going on in their community and then facing these defamation lawsuits that could ultimately bankrupt them, because the Wausau Pilot and Review facing about $150,000 in legal bills, being able to defend their outlet for what they reported on. So that my next Wisconsin headline of the week.
No, and local media, particularly small-time media, is vital for communities and for a functional representative democracy. You noted it exactly, Luke. It appears to be an attempt to kind of like bully these smaller outlets into silence. And frankly, it's gross. It's disgusting. But
it's anti-democratic.
The first time that we've seen it. It's antithetical to democracy, right?
Freedom of the press. Yeah, it is antithetical to that. That is a good word to use, Will.
So it's interesting that that this story is coming to light now. That's I guess I'll jump a little bit into a tweet tangent, I guess, that I saw, because I'd like to ask you if you particularly saw this. I had a couple of sports headlines lined up, but I want to save that to the end because those make me very, very sad. And Kristen pried it out of me earlier. I didn't want to be the one to say it, but the headline was there. It had to be taken. Did you know? Actually, I'll ask you, Luke. So the Green Bay Packers right now have the number one what, according to Pro Football Focus, throughout the course of the preseason? The number one offense, the number one defense, the number one special teams, or I don't want to say all of the above, but let's say both offense and defense.
Both offense and defense. They were on the top five for both, according to Pro Football Analytics, I believe was the source on that one.
Very good, Luke. It is both. Both the Packers offense preseason. And defense.
Stop reading too much into
it's preseason
statistics. It's not. It's apples to oranges to the regular season. Yes.
Gotta get excited about something, brother.
There's other things to get excited about right now. I mean, I'm not going to hang my hat too hard on analytics from preseason games. I think it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on if the Packers can continue what they're doing in the preseason and actually put it on the field when it comes to real season games. Then it'll be really exciting. But I'm not going to get my hopes up for some preseason analytical grades. Come on, Will, you're better than that.
I don't think I'm better than that. Not when we have it's the first time we have a starting quarterback not named Aaron Rodgers since 2008. I was in middle school, so I will take all the hype that I can get at this point, because it's so much. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Getting let down is even worse than just coming in with no expectations. But I'm excited. Football season starts in 2 weeks. Are you counting that as my headline, question?
Is there a headline somewhere in there? I'm confused. If you don't understand the assignment, or if I don't understand what you're sharing as the assignment, I'm thrown off.
All of the above once again. So we can count that as my headline if you'd like.
Sure.
Otherwise, I can pull out another one too.
Let's head over to the phone lines and hear what some of our listeners have to say. We've got Karina in Milwaukee calling in here on Town Call across Civic Media. Karina, what's on your mind on this Most Wisconsin Headline Friday?
Fried fish, it's something new for me when I moved to this country, because in Russia, we eat fish. We fry food, the fish, but not like this, not deep frying. And I love it, actually. But the thing is, local fish, we have problems with the local fish, guys. I mean, it's a regulation that you cannot eat one fish out of the Michigan, I think, at least one fish a month, I think. So I understand the desire of, eating or having resources locally. But unfortunately, we have to look into how clear they are, how clean they are environmentally for us to eat it. That's the only thing I want to say. That's all, guys.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Karina, for your contribution.
Yeah,
it is an excellent point. Whitefish is really good. And depending on where you can get it locally sourced, you want to make sure that the environment that the fish comes from is clean. And it's a huge reason why it's important to try to address contamination like PFAS here in Wisconsin. It's something that spreads across multiple different avenues. So it's not just having a clean environment for the sake of having a clean environment, but it's all of the different things that get involved with it, like sourcing our food locally here in Wisconsin waters when it comes to our Friday fish fries. You can be like Karina, 844-967-2789. Chime in with your thoughts on which Wisconsin headline is the most Wisconsin headline that Will and I have shared so far. I believe I'm next then, Will, after your Packer tweet.
I got a PFAS one lined up, headline. But you are next. Yes.
Okay, so we'll go back over to my neck of the woods here in Madison. This headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal. Epic order sets record at Madison Donut Shop. So here in Madison, staple of Madison is Greenbush Bakery. Some of the best donuts around, in my opinion. Epic, the health system here based in Verona, the Madison area, ordered 9,000 donuts this week in a single order, setting the record for Greenbush. And I think it's hard to beat. There's a lot of people in town right now. The Epic's having one of its big annual events. They ordered 9,000 donuts of a Madison staple, which I think it could take me a while, but I've probably had about 9,000 in my lifetime so far. Maybe.
That's perhaps a lot of donuts, Luke. If you count those little Hostess ones, the tiny like one bite ones, but...
No. I haven't eaten 9,000 donuts yet from Greenbush.
Now that is an epic order.
There you go. But honestly, it wasn't too out of sorts for Epic. They have a contract with Greenbush, according to this piece over at the State Journal. On a typical week, Epic, for its employees, orders anywhere from 3,000 to 8,000 donuts. So really just going a little bit above and beyond for this big event with a order of 9,000 donuts this Wednesday delivered to Epic Health Systems in Verona. And I saw that headline and I was like, that's a great little Madison treat to share with everybody that's in Dane County from out of town because of that Epic event.
Can you imagine being the new employee who sees this same entity ordering 3,000 donuts a week, not recognizing it's a company, and be like, wow, dude, this guy's got a donut problem?
Will, I don't think anybody over at Greenbush thought that one person was eating all those donuts.
I'm saying if you were like a new employee and you didn't know, you weren't aware of the contract or anything, and you just saw it, you were like, that's a lot of donuts.
Still. Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the most Wisconsin headlines of the week when we return. Share your thoughts, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Welcome to one of the premier jazz festivals around. We are in Oshkosh.
Get to see Oshkosh, my hometown, embracing and enjoying and celebrating this festival. I mean, I really do mean that.
Erin Bame is the main organizer of the Oshkosh Jazz Fest. She says it's fairly new, but starting to make a name for itself and this Wisconsin city. So what is Oshkosh best known for, at least right now? Is it UW Oshkosh, EAA Air Venture, or Oshkosh Bagosh? The answer coming up.
Our festival is completely free and family friendly.
Two reasons the festival's grown from hundreds to thousands. And the entertainers are huge too. Names like Tormé and Take Six, the most awarded a cappella group in history. So did you guess what made Oshkosh famous? Is Oshkosh Bagosh. But don't forget the Oshkosh Jazz Festival for future fame. The fest is Saturday afternoon, August 26th, and is a new slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
The Republicans are on the wrong side of policy, on the wrong side of the people.
Wrong side of history.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 78. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies, tonight's light chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 61. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. A mix of clouds and sun. Mainly sunny Sunday with daytime highs approaching 73. 76. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 74.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Hall, brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. We've been working all week, and that means it's time for the most Wisconsin headline of the week. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text. Luke, I believe it is back to my turn, correct?
I believe so.
I love when it is my turn. So I am going to keep on the PFAS contamination conversation we had, reading over from a piece at Wisconsin Public Radio. Stella residents sue 3M and Rhinelander Paper Mill for PFAS contamination of private wells. Residents have filed a class action lawsuit claiming that waste spread on farm fields led to PFAS pollution of wells. The town of Stella residents have filed a lawsuit against Minnesota-based 3M and a Rhinelander paper mill over waste spread on farmland that they say is responsible for PFAS contamination of private wells. This, Luke, we talked about it in regards to fish. We're talking about it in regards to land. PFAS is arguably one of the worst natural contaminants in existence, and we're seeing it all across the beautiful Midwest, all across the country. Contamination's getting to be a real problem. If we don't have some kind of legal pushback to fight some of these massive corporations that are essentially poisoning our communities, we could be in a lot of trouble going forward.
What's the date on that article?
August 18.
Oh, okay.
Which is exactly 1 week.
Sounds like it qualified for last week's. You didn't have it because I wasn't here. That's right. Never mind.
Also, it was published at 12:35 p.m. So unless I was, refreshing the page as it came up.
Uh-huh. Sounds good. Sounds like.
Right. You might have seen it. I was on air at the time. Eh. I don't know what you were doing. Yeah. But
844-967-2789. You can share your thoughts about most Wisconsin headlines of the week with us here on Town Call across Civic Media. And if you haven't already, download the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go. You can interact with the show right from the app. Download it wherever apps are downloaded. You can call or text 844-967-2789. Let's stay in the vein of the environment then. I got one also from over at WPR.org. This one, Tuesday, August 22nd, so definitely within this week's most Wisconsin headlines of the week. Millions of pounds of plastic are polluting the Great Lakes. Some students are working to clean it up. And so a very, very Wisconsin headline when it comes to the young individuals across the state of Wisconsin working to improve the state, pulling plastic and other pollution out of the Great Lakes. Anywhere from about 20 million pounds of plastic going into our Great Lakes each year. And this piece over WPR discussing the excellent work by students, specifically at UW Oshkosh, to use multiple tools to remove plastic from Lake Michigan. And again, like you said, the environment is all spreading, Will, and it's important that we have not only efforts to address PFAS contamination, but to clean up the environment as well from what's already been polluted in it, like plastic and other things in the Great Lakes.
Good work to the students. Well, as long as we're touching on students, then I got another unfortunate one regarding public education in the state. Reading over from Wisconsin Public Radio, a piece from Wednesday, August 23rd. So, Luke, I don't know if that qualifies as within your week realm, but it's a little closer than the last story. School employees who sexually harassed students.
Wait, did you just admit that the other one was out of bounds?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just said it was a little bit closer than the last one. School employees who sexually harass students would face felony charge under proposed bill. The plan aims to close a loophole in law that allows teachers to say things to students that would be considered sexual misconduct in the workplace. The legislation, which was co-sponsored by Jesse James, called it a gray area in state statute where sexual comments or behavior from a school employee to a minor student is technically legal if no physical contact is involved. I don't know why we're seeing all of these stories with teachers behaving inappropriately to students in Wisconsin, but with public education on the forefront, particularly how many times it was mentioned during the debate on Wednesday, these conversations need to be had.
Absolutely. All right, I think that's all the time we've got for most Wisconsin headlines. Let's not leave Aaron in a pinch on this Friday. Or if you've got a take and you want to say which one of us, either Will or myself, you believe had the most Wisconsin headlines of the week, give us a quick call, 844-967-2789.
You're not going to let me throw my Wisconsin, my Giannis one out there.
I'm sorry, bud. You should have got it in on the time then. I don't know what you want me to do. We can't pin Aaron up against the heartbreak again.
I got time.
Aaron, you want to do a recap?
All right. So from Luke today, we have Milwaukee being the center of the political universe with the presidential debate. Madison hosting Old Fashioned Week, Wisconsin's best fish fry follow-up, the anti-slap legislation, one epic donut order, and students cleaning up plastic from the Great Lakes. And for Will, we have the legend Milverine banning open drinking on ATVs, which I must agree with him. Why is that not already illegal? The Wausau story with the public schools, the Packers preseason hope that people are having, PFAS contamination bills, and the making sexual assault comments felonies, as also they probably should be. So I think both of you said there were some that were only Milwaukee headlines or Madison headlines, and I want to say that I'm going to do a little both sidesism on that and say that Madison Old Fashioned Week is not Wisconsin Old Fashioned Week. And Milverine is just in Milwaukee. So, I mean, I'm just going to discount those real quick. Although old fashions are more Wisconsin than just a guy in
that
Milwaukee.
Aaron's never heard of. Oh, jeez. Aaron's downplaying the Milverine right now.
I just don't
get
that, I guess.
Disrespectful.
It is disrespectful. I'm sorry, Milverine. I'm sure you're a great dude. But I think that today's winner for Wisconsin Headline of the Week. Luke Mathers.
This is the only one that I'm not going to fight. Yeah, that was the fish fry one was dropping the elbow from the top rope. That was clean.
And I also thank our friends over at Up North News then for providing that headline.
I also think that the Great Lakes plastic cleanup of students, that one also hits me as very Wisconsin because, you know, we do a lot of effort to keep our environment clean here, being the home of Earth Day and all that.
There we go. Folks, if you missed any portion, oh, we got one quick correction as well. Well, you're not going to be going to the Lettuce Music Festival. It's going to be something else, Aaron.
Yeah, it's not called Lettuce Fest. It's called Lettuce Jam at Wonka's Harvest because it's Let Us Jam. Ha, 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 ha.
Around some lettuce. Lettuce Jam around some lettuce.
And that's on Saturday at Wonka's Harvest.
There you go. Well, hopefully you have fun with that, Aaron. Hopefully everybody has an excellent weekend. Town Call will be back on Monday at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Well, welcome to one of the premier jazz festivals around. We are in Oshkosh.
Get to see Oshkosh, you know, my hometown, embracing and enjoying and celebrating this festival. I mean, I really do mean that.
Erin Bame is the main organizer of the Oshkosh Jazz Fest. She says it's fairly new, but starting to make a name for itself and this Wisconsin city. So what is Oshkosh best known for, at least right now? Is it UW Oshkosh? EAA Air Venture, or Oshkosh Bagosh? The answer coming up.
Our festival is completely free and family friendly.
Two reasons the festival's grown from hundreds to thousands. And the entertainers are huge too. Names like Torme and Take Six, the most awarded a cappella group in history. So did you guess what made Oshkosh famous? Is Oshkosh Bagosh. But don't forget the Oshkosh Jazz Festival for future fame. The fest is Saturday afternoon, August 26th, and is a new Slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News.